Greetings, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler, along with Camille Davis and Carry the G and MKE, wrapping up the season after a brutal, disappointing, heartbreaking loss to the San Francisco 49ers. I could probably put that on tape and just play it every couple of years if I needed to. Camille, how are you doing? We've had a day to kind of process, decompress, if you will, after another heartbreaking playoff loss. How are you doing? What's your takeaway from, I'm not going to say embarrassment, but the letdown in San Francisco?
Letdown is the right word. It's a disappointment because the Packers had every opportunity to win that game. You enter into the fourth quarter, you're up by seven. Like, you're feeling all right. I looked at my husband during the fourth quarter and I was like, I honestly did not expect to be this stressed about Packers football this year. But here we are. Like, I'm at that standing to watch the game, pacing around, can't sit down type of energy. But it's disappointing in large part because, like I mentioned, they had opportunities, but also because I've gotten so attached to this particular Packers team.
Yes.
After the ups and downs, like, it's disappointing not to see them play any more football.
Well, and that's the thing, right? The investment you have in this collection of guys. And as Matt pointed out in his postgame presser, they'll never be together again. Yep. You know, obviously the core group, such as it is, will most likely stick around and stay together for a while. But you know, this kind of vibe, this team, this collection of talent will never be the same. And to have gone through what we went through with this team emotionally, where, you know, early November, we're talking about, oh, there's a potential top 10 pick, you know, on the way. And then to see them turn around and have the run that they did and then kind of falter, but then pick it back up. You know, we've been through kind of the grind with this team over the course of the season. And I'm with you. I'm going to really miss watching this team play football. It was infectious fun once they got going there at the end of the season. And not being able to have them complete that journey is upsetting. And I mean, look, they're all the caveats, right? Very young team. No one expected them to be there. The way that they kind of turned the season around, I think, surprised everybody, probably including themselves. But the game itself is probably what's so frustrating because, you know, they had every opportunity to win that game. You mentioned missed opportunities. And this is a team that had taken advantage of opponents and their mistakes and their inabilities to capitalize on things in the past, like, couple, three, four games. And then you get to this game and kind of what I had worried about was, like, the 49ers just being too good, right? Way too talented and just overwhelming the Packers. And that just didn't happen. If anything, the Packers were the team that was in control for much of the game. They just couldn't, you know, finally close the deal with too many of their own mistakes.
Yeah, and this game honestly was a great summary for how this season went. We've talked about them having a chance to be able to pass the test and they were failing, and then it's like, okay, now you're starting to pass it. Can you play with expectation? Not that they had many coming into this game. They were big underdogs,
right?
But they came in and they played a great game for three quarters. Really, the fourth quarter in particular is where things just really started to unravel for this young Packers team. And when you're trying to look at what happened in the game and what went wrong, it reminds me again of the season where a lot of times people want things in black and white. You want it to be very clear, like, it's this and nothing else. It's this. But the reality of this season, this team, and life in general is that it's mostly gray. It was a lot of different things that contributed to the Packers not winning, which, again, is part of what makes it disappointing. You got the two missed interception opportunities for Savage and Nixon, which could swung the game. Like, the 49ers had chances at interceptions and they didn't miss their chances. They won the turnover battle, and that's a huge part in the game. And last week against Dallas, they didn't miss their opportunities. They took advantage of every single one, from interceptions to their performance in the red zone, which, again, against San Francisco, wasn't great. 2 of 5 in the red zone's not good enough. Man. And like, it just, that's what's so frustrating about it. Like, it's all this gray. You're looking at, people want to point to the kicker alone, which Anders definitely deserves a conversation.
I mean, he's part of the conversation, but it's not his fault. No, he didn't lose the game for them in any way, shape, or form. No, no doubt. Although that is something that I think, to your point, like, the being akin to the rest of the season, it's kind of akin to the Packers organization to have this issue that everyone can see.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that the kicker was going to cost them probably in a big moment at some point. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. I mean, that was in their control prior to kickoff, you know, but you look in the thing at the things during the game. The red zone is interesting to me because I, you know, remember the game being over and thinking, God, they missed so many opportunities in the red zone. And then something Matt said in his presser kind of really struck me because, and he was spot on, talking about, they got to the red zone and then they couldn't get into, they couldn't convert to get into goal to go situations because they've been so good in goal to go situations all season long, right? All historically good. And you saw that kind of play out on the Tucker Kraft touchdown, right? Like they have great things drawn up to get them into the end zone once they're in goal to go situations. But way too many times outside of the Bo Melton touchdown where they just went for it on the first snap, they were stymied on early downs. So they kept getting third and long, right? And against that front, you're just in trouble. You they can rush four and they can cover. And in an area which is so condensed, like the red zone is, it just makes it exponentially more difficult. And you go back and watch that game, and that is spot on. Like when you're in third and nine at the 18 yard line, you're in trouble against San Francisco. You've got to get, you know, some kind of chunk play down within like the 10 or something to get yourself into a goal to go where you've got a bunch of stuff drawn up that you can take advantage of, but they just couldn't get themselves into those positions. But when they did, they capitalized.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a credit to the San Francisco defense, right? Like to be able to only rush four and provide that amount of pressure. And you saw throughout the game as well, like the Packers are a team that throughout the season, they've attacked the middle of the field. And you look at what the 49ers have in the middle of the field, and the Packers did not want to test that too much. And you saw it throughout the game, not even just in the red zone, but just how they were distributing the ball. Like you didn't see Aaron Jones running up the middle too often. And when he did, he was normally stymied in that effort. And you had to adjust how you play. But ironically enough, that adjustment, that's a strength of this Packers team attacking the middle of the field. So that was out, but they were still able to move the ball by attacking the boundaries, playing outside the tackle box, so on and so forth. But in the red zone, like you said, when everything is tighter and you just don't have as much room to operate, it became very, very clear, like, this is going to be a problem. And I know some people had a problem with LaFleur going for it on that fourth and one instead of kicking the field goal. And it's like, I get being upset, but the spot was bad. Like it was a bad spot.
Terrible. Yeah.
So I mean, there's only so much you can do when you feel like you converted something. And then the refs say, actually you didn't in this moment. And this isn't me blaming the refs for the performance of the Packers. Like I've never been a blame the refs type of person unless I can't look away from what the refs did. Like if they had their hands in it that much, then I'm going to have to say something. But generally I'm not blaming the refs for anything. And while the
refs had plenty of opportunities to overcome those calls. You know
exactly.
I mean?
Like they missed some calls. They did. But the Packers still could have won the game regardless of such.
Exactly. I'm glad you mentioned Aaron Jones because he had been and has been, you know, so kind of almost revolutionary as far as his reappearance in the offense and the way putting up 100 on everybody, including the 49ers. And yes, one of those was a 53-yarder. But the way they attacked the edges really surprised me just for how effective they were.
Yeah.
And finding that kind of way of working where they found that pitch play and had, you know, the interior wide receiver, the usually the three, kind of cracked down on the defensive end. They made some real hay there. And I will bet a substantial amount of money that the Lions will probably follow suit. They'll take a look at that and go, oh yeah, there's something there. Because, you know, with the 49ers, you think you don't want to run sideline to sideline because their linebackers are so good and they're so rangy, but they did a really good job and busted that, not only that 53 yarder, but a couple of other really big gains, especially off that right side with kind of the same action, you know? So yeah, that was a credit again to Matt LaFleur finding something in the defense that he could take advantage of. Overall, you know, you look at the game and you look at the missed opportunities. I mean, the one for me that you flip it around on the defensive side of the ball, you talked about the missed interceptions, which, okay, those happen. It's really frustrating. But, like, there's so many missed tackles. That reared its head again, something you mentioned throughout the things happening throughout the season. When Darnell Savage in the hole, opportunity to take McCaffrey down for a significant game, but you still got a chance to limit him to a field goal. Instead, completely whiffs on the tackle. I mean, that's the kind of play that got him benched last year. You know, in fact, I remember the Tennessee game, the Thursday nighter, where he had a tackle almost exactly like that or a missed tackle. And next week he was benched, right?
Yeah.
It was all of the kind of worst case scenario stuff for a lot of these guys came to kind of, you know, rear its head, including Jordan Love. I mean, you can't look past that fourth quarter. That's a rough stretch for Jordan after being so hot for so many weeks. And I understand 49ers defense has something to do with that. No question about it. But, man, he missed some what should have been pretty, quote-unquote, easy. Nothing's easy in the NFL. But some, you know, decent layups, you know, that he just missed, you know. And that's something he's got to wear. And it's hopefully something he works on because it seemed to happen every time he was off his spot, right? I mean, over the course of the last couple months when he's been so hot, he's been in the pocket. He's been able to rip things in rhythm or at least kind of fall back. But still, things are kind of in line with how the play is drawn up. Most of these misses seem to come after he was off his spot, trying to get outside, trying to, quote, make something happen. And he just missed. He missed so many throws. And that really, and it was noticeable just because he's been so hot for so long.
Exactly. And you, like, we talked about it. We were thinking initially, like, hey, 2023 season is going to be the learning. We can't wait to see what they can do next year when they might be able to make a playoff push. Mm-hmm. And instead, they did that at the second half of this season. They got really hot. Jordan Love arguably was the best quarterback in the league to end the season, like that last half stretch of the game, of the games there. So when you see him in this game against San Francisco, and it was funny watching it, because I'm like, we're seeing early season Jordan Love and some of the decision making. I mean, the last interception summed
brutal.
It up.
Just brutal.
Where you're looking, when you see the film and you're like, there was nothing on that field for you to throw to. And yet and still you decided to throw across your body to the middle of.
I mean, he pulled a Brett Favre. He pulled a Brett Favre.
Yes.
We've talked about it. He's been more Favre than he's been Rodgers this year. I'll tell you that. And that one, wow. I mean, he went all in on the Favre comparison. Yeah, that's a brutal decision.
It was. You can't make that decision there. And that's something that we saw earlier in the year in games like against the Raiders, where you're like, you have more downs, you have timeouts, you don't have to force it. You can't get it all on one play here. So just cut your losses on this one and move on to the next one. And knowing what we know about Jordan Love so far this season, he's a guy who, you know, he remains very stoic. He doesn't emote too much. He always has that very cool, calm personality. But you know that's burning him up inside. Like, he wants to be great. And you see the work that he puts in. You see the effort. You see how he's grown. And you hope that this is another springboard going into next year where you're like, you get to wear that. Like you said, he has to wear that. Some of the defenders have to wear what they did when their performance, the safeties. We talked about what we saw from Savage, but Owens also missed some very crucial tackles
there. Oh, man, that one on Kittle is embarrassing, man.
Yes.
That is tough stuff.
Yeah.
And again, that's something that we saw earlier in the season, right?
Exactly. I mean, exactly. So it's like there are certain things in this game where it's like, as you say, like you have to wear it. You can't age it away or say like, hey, well, you know, we were underdogs. Like, there are certain things in this game where it's like, okay, but you did this wrong and you have to own up to this piece of it.
Well, it's, you know, funny we're talking about missed tackles because that leads us to the defense, right? And Joe Barry, which will be a discussion point.
Boy.
Who knows? I know Matt's set to talk in a little bit after we're done recording. I highly doubt he says anything of significance when it comes to Barry's kind of position and job status or whatever. But it is interesting to watch that game because you get all of the Joe Barry experience in that, like, especially, it's so funny, in the playoffs, he seems to find, you know, stuff that works against the opponent. But in the moments that are most important, he just seems to revert back to Joe Barry. Like, that final drive where they're playing this too-high, soft-ass shell, just allowing the 49ers to drive down the field. He may as well have been facing the Giants and Tommy DeVito, right? Like, it was that style of defense all over again. Where that, to me, that's the most important time to get after the quarterback. And if they bust a big one, fine. At least you're saving time and allowing your offense a little more time to operate. Like, so, but then you flip it over and you're like, they did a pretty damn decent job against that team and that offense that has marched up and down the field on people all year long, dropping 30 and 40 burgers. I mean, they had a number of three and outs. There were so many times where I was like, okay, we need to stop here. And they got the stop. The offense couldn't extend their lead in the second half, but Joe Barry, there were plenty of times where that defense really surprised me. And that's with a, I would say, kind of, you know, not the greatest collection of talent, especially after Jair goes out. That's a tough one, man. I'm fascinated to see what Matt does here, because look, would I keep Joe Barry around? Absolutely not, but it's not my call. I think there's a decent chance that Barry is back.
there's a chance for it, for sure. And to your point, like, we've talked about the things that he's done wrong, and I definitely agree on that. The last drive the San Francisco 49ers offense had, because I was watching it and I'm like, okay, throughout the game, the Packers did a pretty good job of only rushing four and being able to still get pressure, which against San Francisco is your ideal way to try to beat them. That's what you saw the Ravens able to do, because for as many conversations as we've had about Brock Purdy, not just me and you, but just the general landscape of those who watch the NFL and arguing like, he's a system quarterback, he's not good. Like, no, he doesn't have big arm strength, but he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And if you're going to rush more than four and you're going to leave guys single covered or whatever behind, he's just going to try to find the mismatch. Oh, you have a linebacker on Debo here. And I mean, the Packers got to go throughout this game without having to deal with Debo. For most of it. And I thought that overall they did a pretty good job being able to get pressure with their front four and then being able to drop into coverage. But the last drive, like, if you are going to try to go for it, this is a chance to be aggressive at this point, like you said, because worst case scenario is they score quickly and you have more time on the clock to try to march down the field yourself. Worst case scenario, they score and eat up a lot of time on the clock, and now you have to be in a 2-minute drill, or in this case for the Packers,
a one-minute drill.
So, right. Like, that's the Joe Barry experience, where it's like the game plan was sound for most of the game, but in critical decision points, like, you just veered off in a way where it's like, I didn't agree with it. And by the time they did score, I looked at my husband and I was just like, I wish they could have scored a minute or two earlier. Like,
I know.
And it's weird to say that, but like, that's how I felt in that moment.
Well, because you want time to operate on offense. Yeah. And Matt not using his timeouts while they're on defense is
right.
Bizarre to me. Like, what are you saving them for? I understand, like, you want to utilize them on offense, but you're going to have, like, a minute left. Like, give yourself some time. The whole frustration kind of extends then to special teams as well because of the missed kick. You mentioned Carlson. But I will say, on the flip side, they had some really great performances on special teams. Nixon's big return to set them up to score, even with the fumble. Shout out Eric Wilson. If they had won that game, I think Eric Wilson probably would have got like a number of, jersey orders from Packers fans. Pretty momentous occasion. But and then you have, I thought, some really great coverage throughout, you know, as far as the punting and kicking units. And then you got a block kick, kind of returning the favor on what happened in Lambeau a couple years ago. But it was a really good day at the office for the special teams outside of a really important missed kick.
Yeah, again, reminds me of the defense, because that block kick, think about the time of the game where that came. It's right before halftime.
Right. They're going to get the ball back.
Yeah, they're up 7-6, and they're getting the ball back. So you get a block kick, you go into halftime only down by one. The defense comes out in that first drive, and they force San Francisco into three and out.
Yep.
And you're just like, wow, like, this could have been a big swing here in the game.
Yep,
the last
exactly.
play in the second half and the first last play in the second quarter, first in the third quarter. And you're just like, we're in this. We have a chance. And again, outside of the missed field goals, it was a pretty good day at the office for special teams. It's just that when you're boiling down to it and you're like, everyone else on this team, I shouldn't say everyone, mostly everyone else on this team, who we've been looking to see grow and develop. We've seen it. We've seen it from the offensive skill position players. We've seen it from Jordan Love. We've seen it from some of the young defensive linemen on this team as well, but we didn't see that growth from the kicker position. And that's what's really disappointing as well, where it's like coming into the season when we drafted him in the sixth round, I was like, this is kind of strange. We drafted a kicker with this resume that he had in college.
Wasn't great.
Sixth round. And then you're okay. We're hoping that he develops through the year. We're hoping he develops. And yet and still he continued to miss here. And that's what's so disappointing about it, because in the playoffs against great teams, your margin of error is very slim. And on the margins, the Packers just weren't good enough.
That's a perfect way to put it, too, because it is the little things, you know. And they come back, especially in a game like this, against a team that well-coached and that talented, it's going to get you beat. And that's the most frustrating thing going into the offseason, knowing that you had that game in hand, you know, and the Packers pretty much beat themselves. And it's not to take away from the 49ers, because they're really good. Like I said, there's no doubt that's a really good team. The Packers were toe-to-toe an entire afternoon into the evening and just couldn't pull it out. Looking ahead to the offseason here, I'm not going to ask like the big obvious ones, because I think that will eat up most of the internet's time through the offseason regarding like Bakhtiari and Jones and what have you. But where do you think they look as far as positions that they'll want to bolster? Because when you look at you know, contracts as far as like Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon being up on his last year of his deal. And you look at what they need possibly on defense. Cornerback could is almost always a need.
Oh, yeah.
Safety certainly is an issue. Where do you think they'll probably put most of the, or not most of the resources, but where do you think is the most important for them to look and kind of, you know, bring the talent level up?
They got to do that something with that safety position. Like that's the one I'm always like, this is my first one where I'm like, it's the safeties. And coming into the season, we knew that was a question mark already.
Yeah, right.
And we had four guys vying to, you know, earn their playing time. That
I think
role.
We should have known when four guys could never grab two spots, it was probably going to be an issue.
Thank you. So fair like point. Safety is one for sure for me. And like, I'm also like linebacker. Like we can continue to try to bolster that up a little bit. I do like what we've seen from Quay. I like what McDuffie brought. I'm not sure what we're going to do with Devondre. It's some question marks there. So I would love to see that get bolstered. Of course, cornerback and the Packer way. Draft some more offensive linemen as well, because you just kind of have to keep that going. We don't know what the future is going to hold for Bakhtiari at this point. We're going to be okay with Walker going forward, but you don't know what's going to happen there. And as we've seen, injuries can come very quickly. And we know how Absolutely. The Packers value the linemen that can play multiple roles for that very reason. So that's definitely something to look into as well. And also running back, not because I don't want Aaron Jones to come back. I absolutely hope the Packers bring Jones back, but just have another guy behind him. I'm not sure if Dillon will be back. So we need, I think, another running back to come in as well. So those would be my positions.
They need someone who's a little bit more dynamic, right? So when you do have to spell Jones, or he inevitably spends time on the injured list, you got somebody who has a little bit more juice. Cause that to me was like so glaring. Like AJ, I thought did a really nice job down the stretch and prior to getting injured. Right. I thought they found a really good way of working with him, but the offense really changes when Aaron's not in there. Find someone who gives you some kind of, you know, explosion the way Jones does. Now, no one's going to be Aaron Jones, but like that type of back, you need it. You absolutely, because you see how much it helps this offense. Well, Camille, this has been phenomenal. Our first year out of the gate here on Carry the G and MKE. As we head into the offseason, let the people know, because I know you're not stopping. You're not shutting down. You're creating all sorts of content around not just the Packers, but tons of other, outlets and sports. Tell people where to find you.
For sure. And before I do that, I do want to take this time to say thank you for reaching out and for us putting this together, because I made a joke after the Bucks lost to the Miami Heat last year in the playoffs. And I said, hey, I'm about to become the biggest, most knowledgeable Packers person that you know. as a joke, so I was just like, I can't believe we're out in the first round here.
Right.
And got this opportunity with Cheesehead TV, which has opened some doors as well.
Awesome.
Still figuring out how it's going to go, but you should see me doing some more work with the Pack a Day podcast going forward as well. And in the meantime, in between time, you can catch me on Technical Foul Podcast. It's a once a week podcast I do with three of my closest friends. We cover NFL, NBA, and pro wrestling. That's TECKNICAL. We record the show live every Tuesday, release it on Wednesday and all the audio platforms. And then Monday through Friday, I'll be around talking Milwaukee Bucks basketball with Locked On Bucks and my co-host Justin Garcia and Frank Madden. So still some sports going on here in Wisconsin to talk about. And I'll definitely be talking Bucks. And on Tech File, we'll remain talking about, you know, the NFL season as it comes to a close, the Packers and all of that good stuff as well.
Awesome. Camille, I can't thank you enough. And definitely we'll be checking you out on not only all those avenues, but everywhere you are on the internet. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.